Hi, and welcome to The Literary Sipper. I'm your host, Amber Vitti Hill, and today we're going to be talking about creative pairings and why it's important that you start exploring a secondary creative path. Many of you know that Joni Mitchell is not only the greatest singer-songwriter of our time, but is also a prolific painter and painted many and many of her album covers. But did you also know that this pairing between a primary art and a secondary art is not uncommon among many artists? So people like Tom Waits come to mind. They're musicians, but they've also dabbled in acting. Baryshnikov, trained ballet dancer, also an actor. Nietzsche was not just a philosopher-writer, but also a dancer. Patti Smith, of course, poet, photographer, musician, everything. She's the embodiment of art. David Byrne was an art student, but of course, music maker and now documentary film producer. And I think this is incredibly important to one's creative practice to start to pair your primary artistic outlet with a secondary one, especially if you find yourself as someone who has been pursuing their art for a long time. Art feeds art. And in order to stay creative and to stay inspired and to stay motivated and push boundaries, which is the role of the artist, you have to stay in the beginner's mind. And the only way to stay in the beginner's mind is to try something new. So one of the people that I follow is a guitar instructor named, it's called Justin Guitars. And in order to create better lessons for the beginning guitarist, he decided to teach himself to play left-handed. And in doing so, was able to see more clearly where people might stumble in their pursuit of this new instrument. And I kind of think of pairing in the same way, that in order to see maybe where you are struggling a little bit in your creative process, starting a new enterprise can unlock some of those doubts and fears, because there's nothing at stake for you. If you are a poet and you want to learn to throw pottery, there's nothing at stake for that vase if it comes out lopsided, or if your clay hardens overnight because you didn't put it away properly, versus what's at stake in the art form that you have pursued and studied and produced and shown other people, where you might be less willing to take a risk at a certain point because you have become attached to the outcome. The longer you pursue a certain type of art, the harder it is to feel challenged. And the challenge is what feeds the art. And if I found lately that in listening to some old interviews with jazz musicians in particular, the old guys were always wanting to see what was new, what was next. And in seeing what was next, they moved, people like Herbie Hancock and Miles Davis, moved towards newness, towards new sound. And they were able to do that because they were unafraid to try things. And they were unafraid to explore rather than keep doing the same six riffs over and over every night. That boredom that sets in does not feed the artist's mind. It's not what they wanted. Coltrane wrote, "There is never any end. There are always new sounds to imagine, new feelings to get at, and always there is the need to keep purifying those feelings and sounds so that we can really see what we've discovered in its pure state, so that we can see more and more clearly what we are. In that way, we can give to those who listen the essence, the best of what we are. But to do that at each stage, we have to keep on cleaning the mirror." And I love this idea of cleaning the mirror and seeing yourself more clearly as an artist so that you can engage those sounds. And you think about Kandinsky and how he paired art and music, or Alvin Ailey and hit dance and art and the landscape of the human body and the human experience. In order to get the depth and breadth and history of a certain genre, you have to be challenging that genre all of the time. And one of the best ways to challenge your genre is to start investigating other creative paths and how they can then inform the creative enterprise that you're a part of. So if you are a musician and you study art the way Joni did, what is it about that art as meditation that you can then bring in more inspiration to your music, or that it can walk hand in hand and that you're really living the visual embodiment of what you want people to hear orally? And I think that the way of leaving things behind a little bit to percolate so that you can come back to them with fresh eyes and ears without losing touch with the creative process is an important part of the process itself. So that if you have recorded your album and you're not ready to send it to mastering and you need to leave it a little bit to see if it really is what you think it is, that's an important part of the process. But then go do something else. Go take a drawing class. Go move your body. Go try something, a new instrument. Try something you've never played before, or at least, at the very least, go and see and be saturated in another creative person's creative process themselves. Go see music you've never seen. Go see a play you've never seen. Try your hand at writing something you've never written before. So if you're a playwright, try poetry. If you're a poet, try playwriting. And in that way, when you return to the work that you are in the middle of making, you yourself have changed because you've gone through from the beginning to the end of a new process. We can't get attached to who we are when we're exploring new art. And it keeps us aligned with the newness when we start to pair our work with another type of work. When you begin your pairing, you can feel very vulnerable for the first time in a long time because you are starting off with something new that you haven't practiced, that you don't really have any understanding of how it will work, what will come of it, why you're doing it. And in that way, those feelings can feed and inform your work later. Sometimes the secondary avenue will not show you the direct reflection of yourself. It's not a mirror, it's art after all. But what it does is it allows you to see what feelings and emotions rise to the surface when you are in that space, especially the space of the beginner. So, for example, when I was in a rut with my writing, I began taking ballet classes. And when I did, I really found that I was seeking something more elegant in my life, that I felt really elegant when I danced. I took ballet, of course, and in that's just in the process, right? Is extension and beautiful lines. But it also was this energy that moved through me. And when I returned to my writing desk, I found that I wanted to encapsulate some of that same elegant energy in my writing. So spending a lot more time thinking about physical description, thinking about setting, thinking about the length of lines. And you can find that the same themes translate from art to art to art because it's all the same. It's all reaching for the mystic and trying to process it for all of us to make sense out of the chaos. So whether you're dancing or painting or writing, we are all trying to make sense of this life. And so pay attention when you do begin your secondary path. What are the themes that keep coming up for you? Are there things around shyness or encouragement or doubt? Are there things about your body or the space that you need to be in, the need for light or music? What is it that really is inspiring you in that new place, in that new way? What is it that keeps coming up for you over and over again? And pay attention to it. And then when you return to your work, return with that idea at the forefront and see what's there. If you left words behind, see how you have changed see how those themes can then be applied to those words. If you're a dancer and you've decided to paint, see how much color informs you, or rhythm or movement. There are so many shared things about art, so much shared vocabulary, so much shared instinct and inspiration. The fact that you study and train, but yet ideas seem to magically appear in front of you because you're open to them. So I just keep encouraging you to be as open as possible and keep exploring. And especially for those of you who define yourself by the art that you do, maybe it's time to take a little detour for a little while and then get back to the business at hand of making things for the world. I hope you're well, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Literary Sipper. I hope you enjoyed this episode and learned something new. If you did, please subscribe and leave a rating and review if you're feeling especially generous. Until next time, keep reading, keep writing, and keep putting your voice in the world. It's waiting for you.